You probably know the simile of the lute. The story goes that there was a monk, Venerable Sona, who was doing walking meditation one night to the point where his feet were bleeding. He sits down and starts thinking discouraged thoughts. Maybe he should disrobe, become a layperson, he could still make merit. All of a sudden the Buddha appears in front of him, having levitated from Vulture Peak Mountain, and asks Sona, "Were you thinking of disrobing?" You can imagine how Sona felt. Bad thoughts go through his mind, and immediately the Buddha comes. But he appreciated the Buddha's compassion. "Yes," he said, "I was thinking of disrobing." Then the Buddha gave the simile. "Back when you were a layperson, were you skilled at playing the lute?" "Yes." "When the lute was tuned too tightly, did it sound good?" "No." "When it was tuned too loosely, did it sound good?" "No." "It's when it's tuned just right that you can pick up your theme and play with it." In the same way when you meditate, you tune the string of your persistence or energy to what you're capable of, and then you tune the remaining five faculties, conviction, mindfulness, concentration, discernment, to the level of your persistence. And you can pick up the theme of your meditation and play with it. So when it takes the advice, soon after that becomes an arahant. It's a good image, especially when your practice is in general too tight or too loose. Over time you find that either you're getting frazzled, strung out, too grim, in which case you have to back off a little bit, lighten up, think more cheerful thoughts. Don't push yourself physically quite so hard. That doesn't mean you should be lazy in your meditation, simply that you have to know your physical limitations and the energy of your mind. Same time, when your practice is too loose, you realize I'm not making any progress at all. As the Buddha said, if you indulge in certain pleasures and you find that it has no bad effect on the mind, they're okay. But if they do have a bad effect on the mind, to keep you mired in whatever level you've been without having any advancement, maybe you should push yourself more. The image works, as I said, in general, because you run into specific cases where the level of your energy goes up and down even in the course of one meditation. You have to know how to deal with those particular instances. It's like playing a tune and realizing that your lute is beginning to get out of tune while you're playing it. You have to stop, retune it. One case is when you find that you start out and you don't have much energy, but as you sit down, you find that your level of energy grows. Okay, that's a sign that you should meditate more than you had originally planned. And learn how to talk yourself over those humps if you find that it's a regular occurrence. Years back, one of my doctors put me on beta blockers, slowed down the level of my heart rate, and I found that my level of inertia was huge. Any project, especially if I was going to go on a hike, just a simple thought that I was going to go on a hike, my whole body seemed to rebel. But I discovered that the rebellion was short. If I toughed it out, after a while that inertia turned into momentum, and I was able to complete the hike. Knowing that I had that tendency didn't mean that the initial inertia went away every time it was there. But I at least had the confidence that it wasn't always going to be there. It was that mental attitude that made the difference. It was still physically hard, but the mind was stronger. So if you find that you don't have much energy as you sit down to meditate, you think this is going to be a miserable sit, you don't have to make any promises to yourself about how long you're going to be here. John Cha talks about this. You sit down, And your divine would say, how much longer? And you say, I don't know. How much longer? I don't know. After a while, they'll stop asking. Or you can encourage yourself with thoughts about how good it's going to be once you get over the hump. It's going to be worth the effort. That's not going to be an effort all throughout the meditation. It'll be just in the beginning. Then there's the opposite problem. Did you start out confident? Your level of energy is up. You're ready to go. And then things begin to wear down. There's nothing, it's just a matter of toughing it out. You have to figure out, what am I doing that's destroying my level of energy? Is the mind sabotaging my efforts? Because it does that sometimes. Sometimes it'll seize the breath. There's a part of the mind that doesn't want to meditate. It'll seize the breath, and you find after a while that there's no way you can breathe that's comfortable at all. The whole body seems tight, tense, constricted. Or your enthusiasm wears down. Somebody's enthusiasm wears down inside. This is where the image of the committee of the mind is useful. You don't have to identify with the laziness. You don't have to identify with the lack of energy. There are ways to breathe that you can raise your level of energy. Long in, short out. Sometimes short, shallow, can raise a different kind of energy in the body. You have to experiment. The important thing is that you don't give in to every symptom of laziness or drowsiness as it comes. The Buddha talks about changing the topic of your meditation. If you have a chant that you've memorized, you're sitting here with a group, run it through your head. If you're meditating alone, you can chant it out loud. Rub your arms, wash your face, get up and do a walking meditation. If while you're doing walking meditation you find that you're still drowsy, that's a sign that you really do need to rest. But don't give in to this sudden attack of drowsiness or sudden attack of laziness or lack of energy. Keep tuning and retuning your lute. And all the image of a lute would mean that if the level of persistence is down, then the level of the other faculties should be down as well. But that's not how the mind works. Sometimes when your level of energy is down, you have to give yourself more conviction. Ramp up your conviction that even though you may not be able to sit for long, it's still worth doing. It's like that book we had on learning how to swim. There are times when you are practicing to be a swimmer, and you don't have much time in any particular day. So you make sure that when you do practice, you maintain your form. That way you're contributing to developing good habits. The same way when you tell yourself, I have only time or energy for a short meditation, you have to remind yourself, this is worth it. And then you try to be extra strict with yourself as to what wanderings of the mind you'll accept. Remind yourself, I don't have much energy, so I have to squeeze the best use out of it while I can. So maintain your proper form. Do the guided meditation steps as best you can. And even if it's a short meditation, it'll be worthwhile. So in general terms, you know how to tune your lute. But you have to realize on a specific meditation session, you may have to keep tuning it all throughout the session. As you learn how to read yourself, develop this quality of alertness, and have the attitude that whatever comes up, you're going to make the best use of it. That's the attitude of a good musician. That's the attitude of a good meditator. There was a famous cellist one time who broke a string in the middle of a concert. And instead of stopping the concert, he decided, let's take this as a challenge. Can I play this piece without having that string on the cello? And he was able to do it. So learn to be up for the challenge. That's how your skill as a meditator gets more solid and grows.